Several hours of debate on an issue earlier this week, Senator, involving, it's been nicknamed Hancock 3. Essentially, it would take over where the old Hancock Amendment would leave off in terms of before the days of tax credits, when the Hancock Amendment was in effect, if the state had a surplus of revenue, there were checks mailed back to Missourians. That has changed in the last nearly 20 years now. Now there's a senator who has said, well, if we were to limit the scope and size of government and keep growth in check, it can be done in a budgetary way, and he would leave it up to the voters.
That's exactly right. I think it was Senate Joint Resolution 26, Dean, and Senator Lauger proposed that. We debated it in committee, and it made it to the floor. It did not make it through the process yet. There's considerable opposition from those who believe government should be bigger and more expansive and spend more money. Senator Lauger, the approach that he took on the bill fundamentally was kind of because of the direction the economy has taken, the Hancock Amendment very seldom comes into play anymore. And so we're not really restricting the income, the revenue stream from government, but his objective was to restrict the outgo, to restrict what we would spend. And so he took that proposal. It would actually have gone to the ballot. It wasn't something that we would unilaterally impose at the legislature. It would have sent it to the ballot, and the people could have voted on that. And it was basically an attempt to restrain the growth of government and to rein in what we've seen as somewhat unlimited expansion of government. Even with fairly conservative majorities in both the House and the Senate, we're still seeing significant growth each year in the state budget. A lot of that has to do with the expansion of the cost of Medicaid. The budget for education goes up nearly every year. Those are kind of the big pieces of the budget, and Senator Lauger's intent was to try to give some of the money back to the taxpayers that government really shouldn't be spending. And we debated it for a number of hours. It was filibustered by the minority party, and we finally laid that bill over and went on to other things.
One of those other things, ironically from the same senator, in this case would look at the caps on what they call non-economic damages, Senate Joint Resolution 25. Again, a lot of time spent on this one.
Yes, several hours of floor time we spent hoping to get some kind of a resolution to judicial decision that overturned legislation that was passed previously that set a cap on non-economic damages in the case of medical malpractice suits. I think it was $350,000 that was the cap, and the judge, and I don't remember the specifics of his ruling, I did look at it, but it escapes me now, said that that was not constitutional and could not be done. And so this was an attempt to go back to the people with a constitutionally authorized revision that would allow those caps to be imposed by the legislature. The judicial opinion was that they could not be imposed currently with the existing constitution. And so this would have allowed the people to make that decision and decide whether they wanted those caps on medical malpractice suits only on non-economic damages. It would still be a full recovery of all medical costs, both past, present, and future, as well as some other recoveries that could have been made under the existing law, remaining law. Anything that was an out-of-pocket expense, this simply said that non-economic damages would be capped. Senator Lauger took a rather unique approach, a negotiating approach. Many times in the Senate, those who have been here and observed the Senate in action understand that a lot of times one of the reasons a debate or a filibuster goes on the floor is to allow the parties who disagree to get off in a conference room somewhere and to try to work out some kind of a compromise that they can both agree to. During the time that the debate was on the floor, that was exactly what was happening. Senator Lauger attempted to put some extra pressure on those negotiations. He initially proposed a cap of $500,000, then promised that each hour that we were waiting for some kind of an answer back, we would reduce that by another $50,000. I thought that was kind of innovative of him. It didn't really produce the results that he had wanted. We still ended up laying the bill over without a full resolution, but it did make for an interesting process.
Given the fact that both of these proposed resolutions, as they are joint resolutions, would both go to a vote of the people if they pass the Senate and House, does it surprise you that there is opposition to them? And is that, again, if you leave it up to the people, then it's their decision, not something that was handed down by a legislature?
Well, I don't know that it surprises me. That's a hard decision, I think, for any one of us to decide. I've taken the same position on issues before, where I felt like it was my job as an elected official to keep something off the ballot on behalf of my constituents rather than to require them to make a decision that they elected me to make. So I don't know that I would indict any of my fellow senators for taking that approach. I understand that it's always frustrating if you're the one that wants it on the ballot and someone else doesn't necessarily want it to even go to a vote of the people. And you always stand the chance of being criticized that, well, you won't let the people decide. There are times when I feel like the people didn't elect me to send them every hard decision. They elected me to make hard decisions. And I think that's a legitimate position to take. I understand the position of my colleagues, even though I was on Senator Lauger's side on this one, would have been happy to have voted for either or both of his resolutions. I understand how each of us has to make those decisions on our own, and we have to answer to our constituents at the next election for the way we make those decisions.